Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Chuck and Mark. I am your kind of host, Matt Halloran. But most importantly, we're going to be hearkening back to some wonderful history here, back to a quote that many of you have heard, but you might not know where it comes from. And Chuck's going to give us an explanation of that. But today's podcast is Comparison is the Thief of All Joy. Chuck, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Great to be with everyone once again. And Mark, we got a really good one on our hands today. This is the pinnacle of claritology. And the title, as Matt said, Comparison, Right, is the Thief of All Joy. That's attributed to former President Theodore Roosevelt. I looked up a little bit about why he was called Teddy. He didn't like that. That's what the opposition party referred to him as. So I'm going to, if there's any Theodore Roosevelt fans out there, I'm not going to call him that. But I think it's a great quote, Mark. It comes right into the wheelhouse of what we do. And it's why we think that benchmarking is an ill-fated concept. We hope someday it's going to be on the ash heap of destruction in this industry. For now, we got to deal with it. So I'm going to do, Mark, a little differently today. I'm going to read a little bit about some things here. I'm going to toss it back to you. And I think we'll have some fun with this. So how does that sound?
Sounds like a beautiful plan, Uncle Chuck.
Okay. So here we go. We wrote a paper on this actually too, which we're going to republish. So for those of you in our audience. So here we go. If we're honest about it, Mark, there's always going to be someone who's smarter, stronger, richer, better looking, and more successful to each one of us. So here's the thought. Constantly reminding ourselves that comparison in any area will only discourage us from moving forward with our own life's goals is a must if one desires to reach a state of clarity. So here's this comment that we wrote, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. Those who have great awareness of their own being, right? Everyone's got a unique talent set. Also, we should be understanding about the pitfalls that we have, and we compare ourselves in anything in life other than our own hopes, dreams, and goals, it's an ill-fated event. So before I get to this article about 35 famous people who were painfully rejected before making it big, I want you to just talk about this concept of benchmarking, why we don't use it, why we don't like it, why we just think, again, it's something that should just be eradicated for our industry, hopefully altogether at some point.
Sure. So benchmarking starts fundamentally with the foundational aspect of clarity. And you have to have ultimate clarity to actually use a benchmark. Why do I say that? Because unless you know exactly what you own, you know what's in the benchmark and how the benchmark returns are garnered, you're never going to get an apples to apples comparison in terms of actual benchmark that is appropriate to know what your portfolio is doing. Now, of course, the argument by the client or the investor is, well, if I don't have a benchmark, how do I know whether or not you're doing a good job or not?
Exactly.
You're right. Well, that's easy. Are you on track to reach your financial goals? Are you invested in a manner that is conducive to your tolerance of risk? Do you have a game plan to maximize returns, minimize taxes, and take advantage of financial opportunities? Those are the things that you should be thinking about, not, gee, my portfolio isn't doing as well as the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ. I remember years ago, I don't meet with clients anymore, but I've had a couple of people in my past, clients who I don't believe they're with us. Funny that should be the case anymore. You know, 1 year when the S&P 500 is up, they do the comparison of the S&P to their portfolio. But the next year, you know, the NASDAQ did a lot better. And somehow they changed the benchmark to the NASDAQ. How come my portfolio is not doing as well as the NASDAQ? In other words, people use benchmarks out of convenience. not out of prudence. Convenience, not prudence. And prudence is very important.
That is superb. I don't think I've ever heard you say that. Matt, we got to write that one down. That's another quote that we got to get.
Yeah, write it down because I just came up with it.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, here's one of the things that I wanted to go over, because I think this is really kind of key. We're going to pivot a little to something that we normally don't do, but there was an article written a few years back, less than a decade ago, but it was 35 famous people who were painfully rejected before making it big. Now, why do I want to talk about them? It's because they did exactly what you just said. They refused to take any type of overly critical comments from an individual before they made it big. They determined how they wanted to control their own destiny and what their life's goals were worth reaching. So let me just do this right now, Mark. I'm going to read these from you here. I'm going to call this up because this I thought was just write down what we're trying to get across here. So here's, I'm going to give you five people. So Walt Disney, he was fired. We know Walt Disney is, right? Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star in 1919 because his editor said he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Get all of that. Oprah Winfrey was an evening news reporter and got fired because she couldn't sever her emotions from her stories. Now, here's a good one, because I know you spend a good amount of time in Nashville. You certainly know the old Grand Ole Opry. After performing at the Grand Ole Opry, Elvis Presley was told he was better off returning to Memphis and driving a truck, which was his former career, by the concert hall manager. Two more. Thomas Edison secretly conducted experiments by working at Western Union. You're going to love this. After spilling acid that ate through the entire floor, he was fired. He then decided to pursue inventing full-time. And our friend Albert Einstein, right, supposed to be the greatest mind of the 20th century, he didn't speak until he was 4 years old and didn't read until he was seven. He was subsequently expelled from school because of those so-called learning disabilities. So here you go, right? It's the same thing that we're told by the industry that we're in. Every single statement that comes through is a comparison against something. And how many times, Mark, do we have people come and say, well, my 401k did this, or my neighbor did this, or I was told from a friend to buy this stock? They do that because they lack clarity. And I want you to just really drive that point home if you could.
Well, I think it's human nature that people inherently want to be in the best position possible. And in order to appease that, they search out information that agrees with their viewpoint. And you may not have the right viewpoint, but if you sit and you listen to people who agree with your viewpoint, it makes you feel better. But that isn't necessarily the right answer. And so clarity functions on multiple levels, meaning having clarity comes from multiple sources. It's the people you surround yourself with. It's allowing yourself to be unbiased about anything. But when it comes to money, people feel five times greater pain when they lose money than when they make money. So people don't want to feel that five times greater pain. They want to feel good. And so they're constantly trying to find the magic elixir that makes them realize that I'm getting the best return possible on my portfolio. And they focus on that instead of focusing on the quality of the businesses they own. We've trademarked the phrase process before progress. It is the process you adhere to that allows you to progress. The benchmark you should be using is not just around what kind of rate of return you're getting. It is around, am I on track to reach my financial goals? Where are my risks? Where do I have exposure? And sometimes it may not necessarily be within your actual investments. It could be around taxes. It could be around legal exposure. It could be around multiple things, not just as my portfolio doing as well as the S&P 500. And this is why Nepsis has made the shift that we're making by buying a CPA firm and integrating all that. But also at the same time, people focus so much on their portfolios and doing it themselves that they don't realize the power of having an advisor to show them where the roadblocks are or where the potholes are going to be in the future. And with the CPA firm we have now, we're having more and more stories and more situations where people didn't realize the exposure they had. And so clarity is the foundational component to get you where you want to go. That's why we call it the road to Nepsis, the road to ultimate clarity.
Well, Mark, that was excellent. We always say that once you get to the pinnacle of clarity, the road never ends, it continues. I want to pivot, if I could, because I love what you said. I want to talk about awareness or self-awareness. And I want to put a bow around what we just spoke to with these five individuals. So I'm going to read from our paper, our white paper that we wrote. Each of these people came from different backgrounds and fields of endeavor, but what each of them had in common was a strong self-awareness that shrugged off the naysayers, which in turn ultimately permitted them to pursue their own goals and dreams, irrespective of what others thought about them. So here's the quote we wrote: investors should take heed by seeking to eradicate the desire and temptation to constantly compare the results of their uniquely designed and constructed portfolios to others or some prescribed so-called passive benchmark. So in the theme that what you just spoke about, the focus on our firm to partner with other disciplines within the financial services business, specifically certainly tax planning, what's pivot, Mark, to this construction of separately managed accounts and how at Nepsis we focus on the uniqueness and the construction of a design portfolio, and then add to that what you just did, forming a team around an individual so they can actually measure their success through other measures than just the S&P 500. So I know that was a big platter to throw at you, my friend, but I know you can handle it.
Yeah, thank you. At the end of the day, we, of course, adhere to the separately managed account strategy. And for those that don't know what a separately managed account means, let's take separately, the word separately first. Separately means that your money is not commingled with anyone else's money. It's not in a mutual fund. It's not in an ETF. Why is that advantageous? Well, number one, it allows you to control tax situations. It allows you to pick and choose if you need money, a much more sniper rifle approach to picking where to get the capital you need to accomplish the goals you want to have. And it allows you to manage the overall plan under the auspices of a phrase I've used for years: maximize returns, minimize taxes, and take advantage of financial opportunities. Because at the end of the day, it's just not the rate of return that you get on your portfolio. It is also how little tax you pay. And the job is to pay as little tax as possible, obviously within the realm of the law, but to minimize your taxes as much as possible in the process. And so people will be linear thinkers on how's my portfolio doing to an index, but how a portfolio is doing includes tax mitigation. It includes tax loss harvesting. It includes selling what is best to sell at any given point, contingent upon the situation at that given time. And so a separately managed account, separately means your money is not commingled with others. It gives you greater flexibility and transparency to do that. Managed, separately managed. In the managed part, it is managed professionally, utilizing a buy discipline and a sell discipline. The investment process that we've created here at Nepsis through the philosophy and the strategy of how money should be managed, that is the managed process. And of course, accounts. Whether it's an IRA or a non-IRA, you actually may manage those two accounts differently. What if it's a regular IRA versus a Roth IRA? they should be managed a little bit differently, all working together to accomplish the goal. This is why it baffles me that people have accounts in multiple places, because the right hand then doesn't know what the left hand's doing. And the investor compartmentalizes and says, this guy's doing this good, that gal's doing that good, and I'm going to do this and that with my money because this person's doing better than that person, when they don't even realize that the person doing better today may be taking on way more risk than you realize what you're doing. And so the separately managed account gives the client greater clarity and puts them in a foundational position of being what we ultimately think and believe investing is, and that is being a business owner, investing like a business owner.
Absolutely, the first part of the pyramid. Let's wrap this piece up. We've used this analogy before, and we've walked through the replication of artwork through posters, right? And now we have generative artificial intelligence, which can do a new Monet, if you will. I'm of the adage that, and you think about, let's just call them the uber wealthy of the past, whenever they wanted a personal piece of artwork, they would hire and commission an artist to either paint a portrait of their family, maybe of themselves, or a piece of real estate that they had. And they would proudly display that over certainly their fireplace mantle. And I think of what you just laid out, Mark, is really the hallmark of why separately not managed accounts, not only that, but integrating those other financial services into the mix. So thanks for that. I wanted to just pivot here, talk about the comparison again within our industry and this fixation. So we wrote this in our piece: other than professional athletes, there is no industry in our estimation which exemplifies the faulty premise of the mental fixation of results comparison than the investment industry. Whether it is, and here's what I'd like you to talk about, the marketing departments of large fund complexes selling past performance via peer group comparisons, or third-party research firms touting star ratings, compliance departments mandating so-called manager benchmarks, or even regulators setting guidelines on performance standards, we are always programmed to think that the world around us dictates our perception on how well we are doing. So let's talk a little bit about that fixation. It is everywhere in our industry. Like we said, star ratings, peer group comparisons, regulators demanding that. How ultimately does Nepsis, in this concept of clarity, break through that ceiling, which seems so hard to penetrate at this point?
Well, number one, communicate yes, with the clients. Help them understand what is happening at any given time. That's why we created the app. When you go to nepsisinc.com, you can download the app. You talked about downloading the white paper earlier. You can go to the website and download that white paper for free. You know, at the end of the day, it is a process of educating clients. You know, in our industry, they all talk about education. Education is so important. And at the same time, we're not educating investors in a manner that I believe is the most prudent way for them to accomplish their long-term goals. And so when you think about this idea of comparing and using benchmarks, understand what motivates an industry. Most of the information that people read comes from TV or periodicals. What do TV and periodicals have in common? They sell advertising. In order for the advertisers to advertise on TV or advertise in your periodical, they have to engage the person or people to get them to be in the process, if you will, of what they're selling or what they're telling people. But that is that necessarily in your best interest? And by the way, every person's financial plan, financial process, financial situation is different. And so to lump everybody into one situation is not going to be the best way for you to get advice on what you should be doing with your money and your plan.
I love the word education that you used, and I think that's so important. In this paper we wrote, Mark, we went a little offshoot here, and I'm going to mention this here, and hopefully our listeners can grasp the connection here. Believe it or not, medical students, when they graduate from med school, still have to, before they become a licensed physician or medical practitioner, read what's called the Hippocratic Oath. And there's many versions out there. This one that I'm going to just kind of reference was written in 1964. And although it still seems, I'll use the word hokey, it's really built with this relationship, the covenant relationship kind of between the patient, who the physician is always working in the best interest of, and how they view their craft. So I want to speak to this, and then we're going to end on kind of how we view this oath within our own firm and how we believe the relationship between the group of advisors and certainly the client is. So here's what, I'm going to summarize the Hippocratic Oath, but here's what they have to say. I swear to fulfill to the best of my ability and judgment this covenant. I will apply for the benefit of the sick all measures which are required, avoiding those of twin traps of overtreatment and therapeutic nihilism. But here's a key one. I will remember that there is both an art to medicine as well as science. Where do we quote that before in Nepsis? That a warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug, communication, as you just said. And here's the last one. I will not be ashamed to say I know not, nor will I fail to call in my colleagues when the skills of another are needed for a patient's recovery. Remember in our last podcast, we shared about one of the key things that have been stated before about knowledge is one of the greatest knowledges is to admit you don't know everything. And I love this. I want you to just speak a little bit to the Hippocratic Oath, and then we'll move to our clarity pledge here. But talk a little bit about this connection between, again, medical practitioners have to uphold this sobriety and seriousness, right? We're talking about people's lives at stake many times. Talk a little bit about this and how we view what we do with Nepsis in our relationship kind of to our clients. And again, that team that we compile there when we don't have all the answers.
Right. Well, this is one of the reasons why we have been moving in the direction we're moving with the integration of a CPA firm and legal services and all these components, because it allows us to have greater clarity on what the right hand and left hand are doing, not just about the investments, but truly about the entire plan, whether it's an estate plan, whether it is a financial plan, a retirement plan, a giving plan, whatever that may be. And we, I'm proud about the network of professionals that we use around the country in very specific areas to help people accomplish their goals. Because the bottom line is, doesn't matter how big your firm is, doesn't matter what the knowledge is of everybody in your firm, no firm is going to have the answers to every single question. You have to have a network of people that you work with to help you accomplish the entire plan. Because there's always new ideas being created. There's always new options that are being created. And it's not just about, gee, is my portfolio doing as well as the S&P 500? But how about, am I paying too much tax? How about, do I have an umbrella in case I have a major catastrophe to protect my assets? Asset protection.
Exactly. Right?
We talk about the focus of growing our assets. What about the protection of our assets? And so there's many aspects of a plan. There's many aspects of investing with clarity. Investing with clarity is not just about how we manage portfolios, how we invest money. It is about how we invest in the client. And the investment in the client and that process of clarity is what allows us to have a much more encompassing understanding of how someone can ultimately accomplish their goals with the maximization of returns, minimizing of taxes, and taking advantage of financial opportunities to hopefully enhance your ability to accomplish your goals.
Super, my friend. So I'm going to end with our clarity pledge. And I just wanted to tell everyone that certainly we don't demand that our clients raise the right hand and say this, but I think that we do ask of them as we go through this process together, that they embrace what I'm going to say here. And I want you to just make some closing remarks after this, Mark, and we'll pass it back to Matt to close us out. So here we go. This is the Clarity Pledge. As an investor, I consider myself an owner of a select group of businesses crafted and tailored to align with my personal goals. As that owner, I pledge to view short-term drops in the prices of my businesses as opportunities to increase my ownership, as opposed to unloading a perfectly sound asset at a discounted price to someone else. Furthermore, I firmly pledge to turn away from alluring, enticing stories about how I can, through somebody else's predictions, instantly increase my wealth by scoffing at it with amusement and calling it the foolishness that it really is. And lastly, this is the core component of our podcast today. I pledge not to compare my investment goals and aspirations to that of anyone else, and realize that my journey on the road to clarity is unique and defined on my own terms, and not by some arbitrary benchmark as dictated by the institutional elites.
You wanted me to have closing remarks. Bluntly, I don't know that I could say anything better than what that pledge is.
That is very kind of you, Mark. And how do you like that, Matt? We end on a note where Mark says, period, sounds good to me.
I don't know what just happened, to be really honest. I'm
bizarre. I'm speechless.
I know, it's amazing. But it's probably because he wrote the pledge, right? And yes. So, you know, that he was already bought into that whole thing. So there's two things that I want to wrap up with. Number one, I have never heard of another financial services firm that has a pledge. Again, just talk about the differences between working with Nepsis and working with other financial services firm. And just full transparency, I've worked with over 1,000 financial services firms. That's the first time I've ever really heard of a pledge. The second thing is, I love that Mark talked about the specificity of what investing with clarity means. It doesn't just mean knowing what you own and why you own it, but it also means that it is specific. You need to have the clarity. And most importantly, we as your advisors need to have ultimate clarity on what your goals are so we can help you get there. So I thought that was fantastic. I love, Chuck, when you get historical. Honest, it always makes me very happy. I love when you quote super duper famous, super cool people, and you did that today with Mr. Roosevelt. So for Mark and for Chuck, this is Matt Hallern, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis Inc., an SEC registered investment advisor.